The following is a class given on Nectar of Instruction, Text 7, given by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, recorded on 16th of June 2007 in Washington.
Punjabi Hare. Gopi jana bala bhag Jwala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
So we'd like to welcome everyone to the program this evening. I'm going to lecture today from a verse from the Sri Upadeshamrita, which has been published by Prabhupada under the title of The Nectar of Instruction. This book has been presented by Rupa Goswami. We devotees of ISKCON are often identified as Rupanugas, isn't it? Why are we identified as Rupanugas? Because we follow Rupa Goswami. And we are also identified as Prabhupadnugas because we follow Srila Prabhupada. So Rupa Goswami, along with his brother Sanatan, at one time was holding very important position with the government of Nawab Hussain Shah. But then he resigned from his post. He had the privilege of being with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who instructed him about the process of devotional service and instructed him to write books on the process of devotional service. So Rupa Goswami has given us many wonderful books. But Prabhupada specially translated two of them. And what are the two? Which are the two books of Rupa Goswami? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, presented as Nectar of Devotion, and Sri Upadeshamrita, presented as Nectar of Instruction. I was personally in Los Angeles in 1971 when Prabhupada released the Nectar of Devotion. I remember the Watsak Emily Temple was fully packed, and Prabhupada had just received copies of the Nectar Devotion from Dynapon in Japan. At that time, Dynapon in Japan were printing our books, and Prabhupada held up the Nectar Devotion, showed it to all the devotees, and said, "This is the law book of the Krishna conscious movement. Every devotee should carefully study these books." So we should study these books. ISKCON actually is an educational institution where we have the opportunity to study the Vedic texts that guide us as to how human life should be utilized. The Bhagavad Gita presents the essence of the Vedic scriptures, and by studying these books, we remain on the right track and we act properly. So today we're going to discuss text 7 of the Sri Upadeshamrita. Sat Krishna Nama Charita Aditya Pavidya Pito Patapta Rasana Narochika Nu Kinta Vadala Anandinam Kalo Saiva Jushta Sadhikramat Bhavati Dankalat Mula Hantri. The translation is as follows. The holy name, character, pastime, and activities of Krishna are all transcendently sweet, like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jointness of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet. It is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his desire and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. Om Jnanam Vimalandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshuramilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovesha Sadhanam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kalamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sadevam Sadvetam Samadhutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanatam Shah He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhira Bandhu Jayasute Gopesha Gopika Kantam Nana Kanta Namosu Katta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Nandani Shuri Rishabhanam Suti Devi Pranamani Haribe Vancha Kalpataryasya Kripa Sindhu Vayavacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
The Upadeshamrita book only has 11 verses, that's all. The Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses, the Gita has 700 verses, but Upadeshamrita has only 11 verses. And each verse has a very elaborate purport. The purport ranges from 6 to 11 pages, just to show you how important each verse is. Prabhupada, when he would be writing these commentaries or purports, he would read the commentaries of the previous acharyas and take the essence from those teachings and what was necessary, and he presented it to us in the form of his purports. So when we study these books, we should study the purports also. Without the purports, you can't really understand these books. Sometimes in India, we meet people who say, Swamiji, don't you have a Bhagavad Gita with no purports? We have a Bhagavata with no purports. I can read Sanskrit. I don't even want translation. I just want the ocean. So, we don't publish any books without purports. We have any published books without purport, that means you can make your own interpretation. And so the purports help us to understand what the Lord is saying. Now, Rupa Goswami, as I said, gave us many wonderful pieces of literature. Narottam Das Thakur in one of his prayers says, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Haibe Akuti Kabe Hama Hirabo Sa Yugada Piriti. When will the day come when I will have the privilege to study the books of Rupa Goswami? So it's a great privilege when we have the opportunity to study these Vedic texts. And if we study them carefully, utilize them, put them into practice, then we can perfect our life. Doesn't matter whether you're a householder or brahmachari or sannyasi. Actually, we all have one business. In the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, you read about the instructions of the Lord to the Prachetas and Narada Muni. So the Prachetas were the sons of King Prachina Varisha, and they had chanted a song glorifying Krishna that was given by Lord Shiva. And then they entered the Grihastha Ashram. Then again, they came back to practice renunciation. And the Lord was very pleased by the Prachetas. And the Lord said, I am very pleased by all you brothers, because all of you have only one business. And what is that? Devotional service. Because all of them were engaged in one business of devotional service, the Lord said, I'm very pleased. So similarly, in ISKCON, we have individuals belonging to different varnas and ashramas, and people belonging to different nationalities, etc. But we have one business, that is to render devotional service to Krishna. And the medium for rendering devotional services, the chanting of the holy name. Without chanting the holy name for the Lord, there's no question of executing devotional service. I was just reading on the board behind, you have a quote from Prabhupada's letter where Prabhupada said, everybody must chant 16 good rounds. So the foundation of a spiritual life is how attentively do we chant the holy name. So the holy name is our most important business, getting attached to the holy name. Now, Rupa Goswami explains the following. He says, the holy name of the Lord is sweet like sugar candy. Everybody loves sweets? Yes? Is there anyone who doesn't like sweets? All over the world, regardless of what your tradition is, whether you're Indian, American, Russian, what your eating habits are, everybody has sweets, am I right? Usually people have sweets after they eat. But sometimes people have sweets before they eat, like in the Gujaratis. But generally, we have sweets after we eat. Am I right? Sometimes they eat sweets before. But whether you eat sweets before or later, doesn't matter. The important thing is you're attached to sweets. Now people like sweets, and that's why you have so many people suffering from diabetes today. Diabetes, there are over 200 million people suffering from diabetes. And the diabetes has become such a major disease that recently the United Nations declared one day as a diabetic day. So we will love sweets. Now here, Rupa Goswami is saying, the holy name of the Lord is sweet like sugar candy. He says the character of the Lord is sweet like sugar candy. Pastimes of the Lord are sweet like sugar candy. And the activities of the Lord are also sweet like sugar candy. The point is, the holy name is all sweet. The pastimes of the Lord are all sweet. Now the holy name is sweet, the pastimes of the Lord are all sweet. Now, even though the holy name, the name of the Lord is sweet, the pastimes, the character of the Lord are sweet, unfortunately, we are unable to appreciate the sweetness of the holy name. Am I right? If somebody says, no, I'm very attached to the holy name, then we would bow down and say, you have become a Paramahansa. But the reality is, in our neophyte condition, we really don't find the holy name that sweet. We chant our rounds, and then we think, oh, it's a big burden off our head now, at least tomorrow I don't have to chant. We hear the pastimes, we hear for a limited time, but then we look at our watch, or we fall asleep. You see people doing japa and falling asleep. Do you see that? You see people in the Bhagavatam class sitting and falling asleep. You do that? Do you ever see anyone falling asleep in front of a prasadam plate? I haven't seen one. Isn't it? I've never seen anyone falling asleep in the prasadam room. Why is that? Whatever it is, prasadam stays asleep. Even to non-devotees, I had experience in a country which has strong Muslim roots. It's a part of the former Soviet Union. So I was there, and a journalist came to interview me. He was criticizing, "Why are you people spreading this in our country? We are Muslims," and so on. So rather than argue, our devotees knew he was coming, so they had prepared some very nice cake prasad for him. So rather than argue, we just offered him the one prasad. He was so pleased, he stopped arguing and came back for the lecture the next day also. So the point is, Krishna prasad is attractive to everyone, to devotees and non-devotees. So, here Rupa Goswami says, the holy name is sweet, but unfortunately, our tongue is afflicted with a disease, and the disease is called avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Vidya means knowledge. Avidya means the opposite, ignorance. Just like sometimes we have blisters in the tongue. Have you had experience of that? Blisters in the tongue. So when you have blisters in the tongue, even if somebody gives you the most palatably cooked prasad, you won't be able to appreciate the taste. Sometimes you have high temperature. And even if somebody gives you mahaprasad, nicely cooked, you won't be able to appreciate the taste. Isn't it? Sometimes you have high temperature. You can't appreciate your taste buds are dead. They're not active. But then, as you progressively recover from the disease, your capacity to appreciate increases. Just like Prabhupada often used to give the example of jointness. When you have jointness, you can't appreciate the sweetness of sugarcane juice. But then, as you recover from the disease of jointness, you can appreciate the sweetness of the sugarcane juice. So Rupa Goswami is saying, the holy name is all sweet. The pastimes are all sweet. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you see that Parikshit Maharaj was fasting, isn't it? He was fasting for 7 days from water and foodstuff. Very soon, Nirjala Ekadasi is coming. On April, on June 25th or 26th. And on Nirjala Ekadasi, many devotees do total fasting. But we do total fasting with water, but then after 1 day, you're anxiously waiting, oh, when will the Nirjala Ekadasi end? And you want to drink water, isn't it? But Parikshit Maharaj, he was fasting totally. And he was getting such immense pleasure in hearing the Bhagavatam, that in the 10th canto, he told Sukadeva Goswami, "Please describe more. More!" The transcendental activities of Krishna. He was getting so much pleasure. So the point is, these pastimes of the Lord are very nectarian. But unfortunately, in our present position, we are unable to appreciate the sweetness because of our material contamination. So Rupa Goswami is saying that because our tongue is afflicted with the disease of vidya, we are unable to appreciate the sweetness of the holy name. Now, Rupa Goswami has identified the problem. Is there a cure? In mature life we see that very often the problem is identified, but there is no cure. Just like there's so many diseases today. Even though on one hand the scientists claim, and rightfully so, that many diseases have been controlled, nevertheless, so many new diseases have been identified. And every day they are identifying newer and newer diseases. Now, in the mature world, they identify a disease, but they don't necessarily have a solution, just like cancer. The doctor will tell you, you have this cancer. But you ask him, doctor, you have a solution? No, maybe. Then, AIDS, so many diseases. But in spiritual life, the disease is identified, the problem is identified, and the solution is also presented. So Rupa Goswami has identified the problem. What is the problem? Our tongue is afflicted by avidya. And how is this avidya manifesting itself? This avidya is manifesting itself through the influence of kaam, krodh, lobha, madvatsarya. This is manifesting itself through the influence of, through the agency of lust, anger, greed, envy, hatred, isn't it? In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked, how is one compelled in a sinful act even unwillingly? We don't want to do what's wrong, but I still do it. Why? Because I have no control over my mind and senses. So Arjuna's question was more on our behalf. Arjuna is an eternal companion of the Lord. There's no question of Arjuna ever getting illusion. But Arjuna was put in that condition so that an opportunity could be presented to speak the Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of people in Kali Yuga. So, in the third chapter, Arjuna asked, how is one compelled into sinful acts, even unwillingly? To which the Lord replied, it is lust only, the all-devouring enemy of the living entity, which is always burning like fire and is never satiated. Never. We may think, oh, if I just engage in this activity once more, I'll be satisfied. Reality is, you can never be satisfied. In the Bhagavatam, you read, King Yayati, we had the opportunity to indulge in unrestricted sense enjoyment for 10,000 years, still he wasn't satisfied. Finally, he said, I was like a lusty goat. Prabhupada used to often give the example of a lusty goat. The goat's in front of the slaughterhouse, and if it has an opportunity to engage in sense enjoyment, it will do that, not realizing in minutes it's about to be slaughtered. So, Krishna says, he's identified the enemy. What's the enemy? Lust. Then Krishna says, where this enemy is located, just like these days, we are hunting for terrorists. So just saying there's a terrorist, Bin Laden is not enough. You want to know where he is. Where is he hiding, isn't it? So then you can focus. So, Krishna says, this enemy lust is hiding where? It is operating through the agencies of mind, intelligence, and senses. Mind, intelligence, and senses are the agencies through which lust works, anger works, greed works, envy works, hatred, illusion. All these work through these agencies. So Krishna goes on to say, mind, intelligence, and senses are the sitting place of this enemy known as lust. But then Krishna says, destroy, slay this enemy with the weapon of knowledge, with the sword of knowledge. So, we fortunately have the Vedic scriptures, and Prabhupada has kindly translated them for our benefit. And if we carefully study these books, we will be able to eliminate the power of anarthas. Anartha means that which is unnecessary. Just like when we came, before we came to Krishna consciousness, when we came to Krishna consciousness, and when you heard about the regulated principles that we follow, some of you may have said, oh, this is not for me. How can you live without this? I've had experience, even in India, when you tell people the spiritual standards we follow, they say, oh, what's the use of living if you can't live? You might as well die. But having lived as devotees, you can see that one can easily live without this, isn't it? So, similarly, we may think that you can't live without these anarthas, but you can easily live without them. And how can these anarthas be controlled or tamed? They can be controlled or tamed through the medium of devotional service. Devotional service is the power that can help you to eliminate the anarthas. Devotional service is so powerful. So, Rupa Goswami is saying that even though the holy name is sweet, pastime, etc., all sweet, we are unable to appreciate the sweetness of the holy name because of the power of avidya or ignorance. Now, what is the solution? Earlier we told you that Krishna identifies the problem and gives the solution. So that the Vaishnava sages, they have identified the problem and given the solution. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse. Devisha guna mai mama maya. Krishna says, to overcome this illusory energy is very difficult. So some of us may say, if Krishna says that it's difficult, then where's the question of our being able to overcome it, isn't it? We might well not even endeavor. But then Krishna goes on to add, Krishna adds, but if you surrender to me, you can overcome the influence of the illusory energy. So Krishna has identified the problem and then also presented to us the path by which we can find a solution to that problem. So Rupa Goswami similarly is telling us here, the holy name is sweet, but we are unable to appreciate the sweetness because of the disease of avidya. Because we are so addicted to the activities of the illusory energy. And because we are addicted to these activities of the illusory energy, we can't get a taste for the holy name. Now, what is the solution? Rupa Goswami says, but by carefully chanting these names every day. So Rupa Goswami is saying, chant the names when? Every day. He doesn't say chant the names sometimes. Just like when Lord Chaitanya was traveling in southern India, he came and stayed in a house of a devotee called Kurma, because a Brahmin, South Indian Brahmin. And he expressed a desire that I should travel with you, my Lord. I don't want to stay at home in this household situation. Like householders often say when they get frustrated. So he said, I want to travel with you. But Lord Chaitanya said, there's no need to travel with me. Stay where you are, but do the following. And one of the things he said was to chant the holy name of Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says, this disease of avidya is conquerable. It is curable. But what's the cure? Every day chanting the holy name. Not only does he say chanting every day, he says chanting attentively every day. In the letter that you have posted behind in the board, Prabhupada uses the word good chanting, 69. So here Rupa Goswami uses the word by carefully chanting the holy names of the Lord. So by attentively chanting. As you know, there are three stages in the chanting of the holy name. The first stage is the offensive stage. The next stage is the stage of minimizing offenses. And the third stage is the, what's the third stage? Purified chanting. So initially we chant, follow some rules, not follow I know one individual who's been chanting 69 for a long time, but he can't give up drinking liquor, so he drinks also. I know one person in Moscow, he chants 69 every day, but he also smokes. So there's one may be chanting and following one, two regulative principles or not, but chanting is beneficial in any case. But chanting becomes more potent as you chant attentively. Then the intermediate stage of chanting is the change stage of careful chanting or good chanting or attentive chanting. What is attentive chanting? I can ask this question all over the world. What is attentive chanting? Attentive chanting means that when you sit down to chant your rounds, they should be your main focus. Not that you're chanting around and doing 10 other errands at the same time. But like in the mature world, people do several jobs at the same time. Answer the phone, have a newspaper, drink tea, have a cigarette, you know, give a talk to people, isn't it? But attentive chanting means when you're chanting around, you just concentrate on your chanting. And if you attentively chant the Nama Bhasa state, avoiding the 10 offenses, then you can get to the stage of purified chanting or Shuddha Nama. Now Rupa Goswami says, if you chant this holy name attentively every day, a natural relish will take place in the tongue. In other words, this disease of avidya will get cured. How will it get cured? By attentively chanting the holy name. Otherwise, the disease will keep to haunt us. Just like sometimes we meet devotees who say, oh, I've been chanting for so many years, but my anarthas are still there. So the anarthas are there, not because there's some defect in the chanting, not because there's some defect in the mantra. The anarthas still exert that influence because we're not chanting attentively. And what we need to do is develop a desire to chant the holy name to the Lord attentively. So, Rupa Goswami is saying, by carefully chanting the holy names every day, this anartha will be cleansed and the disease will be destroyed at the root. Just like if you have a disease and you go to a doctor, you can have a doctor who will give you something superficial, or you can have a doctor who will cure you in such a way that the disease doesn't happen again. Isn't it? Destroyed at the root. So what is more important? Destroying a disease at the root, isn't it? Not just superficially. Yeah, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read a nice story. There's so many nice stories. Sanatana Goswami, as you know, was imprisoned by the king because he did not want to continue his government service. Rupa Goswami had already resigned, and the king was very dependent on Sanatana Goswami. But then Sanatana Goswami also did not want to continue his job, so the king had him imprisoned. And when he was imprisoned, he was able to escape from the prison, and he proceeded to Varanasi to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the way, he stopped to meet his brother-in-law Srikant, who told him, "What is this? Beard, long hair, torn clothes. Come, stay with me, I'll treat you like a king." But Rupa Sanatana was not so interested. Rupa Goswami, when he resigned from government service, he had a whole boat that was full of gold coins. He had the paper currency, and day by day the paper is getting thinner, and the metallic content is getting lighter. Am I right? Even in America, the papers are getting thinner. But at one time they had the gold standard, and Rupa Goswami resigned from his government service. He had so many gold coins, the whole boat was full. Can you imagine? So, Sanatana Goswami was staying on the way in the house of his brother-in-law Srikant, who gave him a very nice, expensive chadar to wear. When Sanatana Goswami arrived and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi, he noticed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staring at that expensive jhana that he wore as a renunciate. A renunciate should live a simple life, dress simply. So, Sanatana could understand that Lord Chaitanya is not so happy with his opulent chadar. So he went on the bank of the Ganges, where there was an old man with a torn blanket, and Sanatana told him, "Old man, I want to exchange my expensive blanket for your torn quilt." The old man said, "You must be joking. You're going to change your old or my new blanket for my old quilt?" He said, "No, I'm not joking." So then Sanatana wore the old quilt and appeared in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, he was so happy. He embraced him and he said, "A good doctor doesn't cure a disease unless the cause of the disease remains. He also cures the cause, so the disease may not reoccur." So here, Rupa Goswami is saying that we are afflicted by the disease of vidya. Therefore, we don't appreciate the sweetness of the holy name. But if we regularly, attentively take to the chanting of the holy name, then this avidya disease will be cured. And the disease will get cured at the root. And we will be able to appreciate the sweetness of the holy name. Just like the Bhagavatam says, "Sharmada Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, He Danta Sovadrani, Nodhi Surasatam." So this chanting of the holy name is our most important business. And every devotee, whether regardless of whether he's a senior or a junior devotee, his focus should be, how can I improve the quality of my chanting? And we have to recognize that we are afflicted by the disease of avidya. And the cure is, as Rupa Goswami is prescribing here, attentive chanting of the holy name. The holy names are all powerful. Nama Chintani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Bhinnatam Nama Naminaha. The holy name is all powerful. The holy name is complete. The holy name is as like a Chintami touchstone. A touchstone. Wherever it touches, it converts that thing into gold. The holy name can give one eternal liberation. And the Lord is non-different from the holy name. Kali Kali Dama Rupa Krishna Avatar. The Lord incarnates. How does the Lord incarnate? Incarnate in His holy name. So Rupa Goswami is saying that these anarthas have to be eliminated at the root. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains, quoting from the Skanda Purana and Padma Purana, how when we perform a sinful activity, the reaction is to be experienced in different stages. Some activities that we perform, the reaction is already felt. Some is about to be felt. Some are like dormant. Some are gradually beginning to fructify. But definitely the reaction will be there. But Krishna says, if you surrender to me, then what will happen? If you surrender to me, I will protect you from all types of sinful reaction. So what is needed is the destruction of the tendency to commit sinful activities at the root. And that is possible by attentive chanting of the holy name. Prabhupada gave us an example once. He said when he was studying in Scottish College, Calcutta, Prabhupada studied in this college, Scottish College, even the professors used to come from Scotland. So Prabhupada said he had a professor who would explain that you should always aim to get more marks than you will actually get. Let's say your pass requirement is 50%. If you see I only want to get 50% of exams, you'll probably fail. If you see I should get 80-90%, then you'll come somewhere near it, isn't it? So Prabhupada said, if you only say I'm going to chant 16 rounds and no more, then you won't even do 16 good rounds. But if you say we're going to chant all the time, then you'll end up with at least 16 good rounds. So the point is, what is being stated here is, the holy name character and the passions of the Lord. The passions of the Lord are so nectarian. For as we said earlier, Parikshit Maharaj was fasting. Still he told Shukadeva Goswami, please describe more, more, more. We hear for a little time and we get tired because we don't have a taste for the holy name. So we need to develop a taste for the holy name. One may be initiated, but that doesn't mean he has a taste. One has to endeavor to get that taste. And that endeavoring process is being described in this verse. So if we sincerely chant the holy name, we hear every day the glories of the holy name, you read Prabhupada's books, you read about it almost every prayer, the glories of the holy name. Thakur Bhakti Vinod gave us many wonderful compositions, but in one of his compositions, Jeev Jago, he really very nicely says, get up a conditioned soul, Jeev Jago, Dora Chanda Bole. You may say, but I'm already awake, can't you see that? We may be physically awake, but spiritually we are snoring. So, we need to be woken up, you know, we are in deep sleep. You know, sometimes a person snores, even if you fly on a plane, sometimes you see people snoring right on the back and you hear it. Some people are in so, such deep sleep. So they need to be woken up. And Thakur Bhakti says, I have brought the medicine to cure the disease. And what is that medicine? The holy name. And where is the holy name coming from? Coming from the spiritual abode. So he says, falling at the feet of the Lord, I beg the holy name. So we have a tendency to beg favors from individuals. When you come in contact with a big man, famous man, we look for some opportunity, how can I beg for a favor? But what we should be begging is for the holy name. What we should be begging for is what we should be endeavoring for is to improve the quality of the chanting. We should not be complacent, oh, I'm initiated, I'm telling 16 rounds. We should constantly be examining, how good is my chanting? What more can I do to improve the quality of the chanting? Therefore, Thakur Bhakti says, Vri Thakur Vani Thakur Sadha Hari Bole Thakur. Doesn't matter which ashram you belong to, take to the chanting of the holy name. Whether you're in happiness or in distress, take to the chanting of the holy name. Generally, when we are in happiness, we have no time for the holy name, isn't it? You ever see the very wealthy come and spend time on the holy name? And is there any shortage of wealthy people on the planet? No. But they have no time. I was reading that recently there was a pen manufactured by this Montclair company, and they sold that pen for $700,000. $700,000 for one pen. So I'm saying there's no shortage of wealthy people. But do they ever have time for the holy name? There's no time. But he says, whether you're in happiness or distress, when we are in distress, we have a tendency, if your karma is pious, to turn to the Lord. Therefore, Queen Kunti prays, my dear Lord, please increase my calamities. Because when you increase my calamities, I meditate more deeply at the lotus feet. And the more I meditate, the faster I will get freedom from the cycle of birth and death. So, this Krishna conscious movement is presenting the art of chanting as a means of self-realization. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted, Priti Vidyachi Jata Nagaradigram, Sarvata Prachara Eva Moranam, as many towns and villages as there are, the holy name will be chanted. Today, living in America, you may not have that experience, but all over the world, you can virtually go to any corner of the world, and you'll find people chanting the holy name. And why are they chanting the holy name? Because it is giving one peace of mind. If we chant attentively the holy name, we will be satisfied. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what you achieve, you will never be satisfied. In the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, you read the story of Lord Vamandev, how the Lord incarnated as Vamandev and came in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was very impressed by the beauty of the Brahmin boy. He said, "Please ask me for any charity you want. What can I do for you?" The Brahmin boy said, "If you want to give me some charity, just give me enough land where I can keep 3 footsteps. And the king said, "You don't look intelligent to me. When you come to a big man, you don't ask him for some grains of rice. Ask him for something more." And then Vamandev spoke as follows. He said, "One who cannot control his mind and senses will not be satisfied even if you give him the wealth of the whole world. And one who can control his mind and senses will be satisfied in any condition." Prabhupada used to give the example of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They renounced their opulence. Raghunathas Goswami was the son of the richest man of that time. They went and lived in Vrindavan, drink madhukari. And they were very satisfied. Why? Because they took under the chanting of the holy name. So we should not be under any illusion to think that material facilities and material means is going to be the medium to happiness. The real medium to happiness is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Everyone sitting here knows the value of chanting, but unfortunately, we don't always understand the value of purified chanting. So our purpose in presenting this talk today is to emphasize not only chanting, but attentive chanting, careful chanting. Because unless we get to the stage of attentive chanting, you will not be able to overcome the influence of anarthas. You will not be able to go up to the love of God. And if you can't develop love for the positive, your attachments to the negative will continue. So what is chanting is beneficial in any situation. Once there was a movie star in India. He made a movie called Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. He made this movie right after Prabhupada came to India with the rest of the disciples. When Prabhupada came to India with the rest of the disciples in 1971, it created quite a stir in India. Prabhupada was having big festivals with 30, 35,000 people every night in Bombay and Calcutta and all. So the movie was called Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. We never saw the movie, but we did hear that in the movie, the good thing is the Hare Krishna mantra plays in the background. But the bad thing was they showed that people get drugged up and then they chant Hare Krishna. So I went to Prabhupada and I said, "This movie is going to give our movement a bad name." At that time our movement was brand new in India. Prabhupada said, "No, nothing will be lost. People will hear Hare Krishna and benefit." So the holy name is beneficial in any situation. Prabhupada said, if a drunkard says the taste of this liquor is Krishna, he's making advancement. So the holy name is so powerful. Knowingly, unknowingly, doesn't matter how you chant, it's going to be beneficial. But as devotees, we obviously want to make spiritual advancement in the love of God. So what is essential is attentive chanting of the holy name, and in that will cure the disease root, cure the disease of sense and enjoyment at the root, and that is the paste through which you can eliminate your blisters, and then you'll appreciate the sweetness of the name, and then as you appreciate the sweetness of the holy name, you also appreciate the sweetness of the pastimes of the Lord, the character, etc. of the Lord. So attentive chanting should be your main focus. Hare Krishna.